Hello, everyone, and welcome to Completing Daily Tasks with Tips and Tricks from Max.
Hello, everybody. This is Max Cletchy. This project is being funded by the WAIS Center, which helps support parent organizations. This is a part two in a five-part series where we are going to talk about acts of daily living. And, we're kind of picking a different topic every video. And this topic is meal preparation. So we have two individuals here, Rich and Alicia, that kind of have agreed to, share their thoughts and their geniusness on this. So I'll let kind of them introduce themselves. So maybe to talk about who you are, give a little background about yourself, and then what's your favorite food? The question of the day. So whoever wants to go first, Rich, do you want to go?
Yeah, fine. So my name's Richard Hood. I'm from Hamilton Township, New Jersey, outside of Trenton. My disabilities are lifelong. This was the way I was made, and have had to obviously learn and adapt to the way things are set up. And that's why one of my main interests is disability advocacy and self-advocacy, which is one of the reasons why I participated in this survey, and especially seeing that it was done by and for people and organizations people with disabilities was really intriguing and good. I really enjoyed seeing that. So that's the reason I got into this project, and I hope mine and Alyssa's and testimonials and information will be well received by this project.
And you forgot the important question. What's your favorite food?
So I'll try, I like a lot of different seafood, and there's a lot of different foods that I like. I'm pretty experimental, and yeah.
All right. Thank you, Rich. Alicia, do you want to go next?
Yes. Hi, I'm Alyssa Grishman. I use she, her pronouns. I live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I have multiple sclerosis, amongst other things. I have six autoimmune conditions total, but I've kind of been in a decline since 2001 in terms of levels of mobility. I am the founder of Access Mob Pittsburgh, which is a local disability rights organization that seeks to improve the lives of people with disabilities through positive measures such as education and economic incentives. And I love carbs. Pasta especially, but like, I love carbs. Carbs are great. They're not great for you, but I love carbs.
I second, third, and fourth that. I'm a Italian, so I love my pasta and my pizza. I'm sorry if I were pronouncing your name wrong. It's Alicia.
My own mother has called me Alyssa three times, so I just give up at this point.
Okay.
If I may, when I first saw your name, I felt pretty good because I have a cousin named Alyssa.
Oh, lovely.
And spells it the exact same way.
Wonderful.
So, yes.
Well, let's kind of get into the nitty-gritty of this. Kind of talk about, do you enjoy meal preparation? What are the things that may be harder for you based on your disability, and to talk about maybe some ways that you have found to overcome those obstacles. I'll start with Elisa this time, and then we'll go to Witch.
First,
Do you want to be first, Witch?
no, that's okay. I just said ladies first.
Oh
Well,
yeah, lady four. Why? What
thank you.
gentleman?
Thank you. So it's interesting to me that my experience has very much changed over time. I love cooking. I used to love meal preparation. I loved the act of just, getting the doing the mise en place, having all my stuff out, doing all the chopping and the cooking and stuff. As my ability to stand has deteriorated, it's gotten harder and harder. So now my big thing that I've done for myself is I have a rolling office chair because I do use a wheelchair outside of my house, but inside my house I walk because it's short distances. For cooking, then I have a rolling office chair that I keep in my kitchen. And so, I can stand up, grab a cutting board, grab a knife, and then sit down, do all of my chopping, stand up and grab a bowl, sit down, put it in the bowl. And so that for me has been my real saving grace. But it has gotten harder. I've fiddled around with the different ideas of having like a mirror positioned over my stove so I can see down into the pot, but I haven't found a good mirror yet that'll both clamp onto my cabinet really well and give me a good enough field of vision. So that's still a work in progress. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now.
That might be an interesting business idea.
That would be. I think a part of it is it's very dependent on your kitchen. So like my cabinet, there's a ridge underneath the bottom of the cabinet that would be a great place to clamp a mirror on and potentially even screw one in place if I found a good enough mirror, just because the clamp's only so good, and if the mirror is too heavy, it's going to flop down into my pot. Ask how I know that'll happen. But you also have to find a good enough mirror that, like, you can have it far enough from away from the pot that it's not going to steam up. There's a lot of factors that go into it. Happily, I would have someone custom build me something like that. But that's a long-term goal. But for the moment, I get assistance from my roommate or my home health aides or my partner or things like that. So I just get help from other people. So like I can do the simple things now, like, made myself a bagel with cream cheese today. I do sandwiches. I can do scrambled eggs really easily. But for the more complex things with a lot of ingredients that need chopped, a lot of stirring and cooking on the stove, it's harder. It's harder and harder every year. So, yeah. Anyway, Rich.
Okay. So in some ways I have had similar experiences where, like Elisa, I struggle to stand for long periods of time. So definitely I do some of it sitting. But I've also had differences in that. I don't mean to make assumptions here, Elisa. But in my case, I don't know about yours, but in my case, I was born with my disabilities that this is something that I haven't, I've had all my life. I've been aware of all my life. I mean, I don't know anything about MS, but I feel like that's something that happens.
Yeah, I
You could
was.
be born, quote unquote, normal and then get MS later in life.
Yeah, I was 19 when I was diagnosed with MS, and I'm 43 now. So it's been, 24 years of just kind of, down. Oh, yeah, quite different from being born with it.
But, you know, and so in my case, and then, so again, there are some tasks like chopping, using a microwave, that are fairly easy for me. And then there's others, like I have, sometimes where I'll have, like depth perception and mobility issues where I struggle to use, like with the holding plate, but then I also sensory issues where I don't like using the oven when it's hot. And like, so when I, and I live with my mom, so, you know, usually we kind of have a system, the things that I like, the microwave that I feel comfortable with, I'll do those. And then like the toaster oven, I struggle because A, with the being hot, and B, I struggle to, because there's no real timer or anything. You just kind of have to twirl it, and you know, there's that magic spot that you have to get it to, but it doesn't tell you where that is, and it doesn't tell you, hey, if you want it this warm, you cook it for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever. It's all a, you know, game, a guessing game. So in those cases, I, you know, my mom helps me. And like I say, with the oven, on those occasions when I do have to, you know, be responsible for putting stuff in the oven, my mom will help me prep in advance, and then I'll put it in. And whereas my mom waits until the oven is hot and then put it in, I'll put it in and then set the timer, you know, bake 350 start, and it'll do. Like I said, the chopping, as far as prep activities, that's probably one of my favorite, would be, you know, chopping or putting ingredients in. I struggle with the mixing part or the whisking part, but the actually, you know, cracking the egg or pouring the milk or that type of thing, I do pretty well. I remember on Max's survey, I did say, you know, if there's one thing I would tell parents or organizations is let people play to their strengths. Like, don't pressure someone, oh, you have to learn how to use an oven when it's hot. If you don't like it being hot, you know, don't force yourself to be uncomfortable. And I also said that, you know, maybe with technology becoming, and I know that's controversial, and some people like what artificial intelligence can do, and other people are scared to death of it. But what I would say is, to the extent that we can still control the technology, I think there's nothing wrong with it. I think there's nothing wrong with asking for help, but don't force. I don't like when people force their help upon us, like let us have the say. And same with technology, where, you know, someday if they can have a technology where you can tell it, like I said with the toaster oven, if they can invent a toaster where you can tell it without, you know, twirling a thing and having to look at tiny invisible print, you can just press a button just like on an oven or a microwave, I'd be all for that. Or if they have a technology where, you know, you can just press a button and the stuff will go in and out your oven, even when it's, you know, 350 degrees where you don't have to touch it, I'd totally be down for that. But it just has to be, you know, whether it's a person or technology, you know, I still want it to be nothing about us without us, and, you know, we can still be in control of asking that person for help or pressing that button without it being, you know, that's where I think people have this fear of technology is, you know, I still want to be in control of it. I don't want it in control of me or spying on me or whatever. So, if they can find a way to draw that line with artificial intelligence, I'd be for it, because at some point my mom won't be able to help me, so I'm either going to have to hope that I can qualify for services, which hasn't always been easy because of I'm, unfortunately considered quote unquote high functioning, and there's not a lot of as many services. So either those services need to be there, or maybe technology can be our saving grace as long as it's done appropriately.
Is that what you said about technology? I mean, this is kind of a interesting age in our country and with existing society as, all the smart home technology and AI is really doing some really some cool things. So, technology can really help us, So I'm glad you brought that up because, it's true. And so kind of talk about if you had to give me a tip or two or three that, you can tell others, hey, here's a tip to meal preparation, and give me a few of your tips that you guys, part of this project is we wanted people with lived experience kind of talk about kind of what they go through because nobody knows better about disability than disabled people, I believe. So kind of give me some tips or twists on like, how, what would you tell, maybe your former self, like you guys know what that means. So let's start with Alicia and then we'll go to Witt.
I remember the night, it was the first night or two that I, after I was diagnosed with MS, and I remember just trying to put on a brave face about everything. And I was reading this website, with tips and tricks for people with MS and being, saying to my parents, see, look, they say, it can still cook, just instead of holding the heavy pot, just slide it along the counter instead. See, I can still do it. There are a lot of great sites with a lot of really good advice. Things like being able to fill your pot and then slide it along the counter. But you don't have to do it the way that the advice thing says. Like, the advice is for someone who absolutely cannot do it. And now at 40, 20, 24 years after my diagnosis, I can still carry a pot of water from my kitchen or from my sink to my stove. So just because the thing says, try to do it the hard way the first time, honestly. Try to do it the other way. Try to do it the standard way. I hope that point makes sense. It, a lot of the tips and tricks are for people who are the sickest, the weakest, the most disabled. And if you are not the sickest, the weakest, the most disabled, you're not less disabled by doing it, a different way. It just means that you can do it a different way. But like, my biggest trick for myself, and this isn't for like every day just making a sandwich and stuff, but this is for like cooking a meal that's more complicated and stuff. Sit down, read through the recipe, and really make a plan of how you're going to do everything. Because For me, who has, a lot of trouble walking very far, for example, I don't want to go to the pantry, grab the garlic powder, come back, then go back to the pantry, grab the salt, come back, and then realize, oh no, go back to the pantry, grab the paprika, come back. For me, it's so much easier to read through the recipe and make this mental plan of, okay, I'm going to go to the pantry, grab the garlic salt, garlic powder, the salt, and the paprika, and come back all in one trip. So it's so helpful to have that plan of action and kind of mentally prepare for what you're going to do. I'm sure as we go along, I will come up with more tips and tricks, like even just what I was saying earlier about having a rolling office chair in my kitchen has made my life so much easier. You don't have to buy some schmancy disability device. You can just get, the cheap office chair from Goodwill. I'm sure I'll come up with more things, but that's my immediate answer to the question.
Well, thank you. Really good. Witcher, what do you have for us?
I guess I would kind of build off of what Elise has said, and it's not necessarily about, oh, do something the hard way the first time, but just there is no right way or wrong way. And like I said earlier, where, okay, it feels more comfortable for me to put stuff in the oven, when it's cold. I can remember the first time that my mom had to ask me to do that. We were going through some family situations and I had to take on that responsibility. And my mom said, I need you to do this. And I said, I don't want to put my hand in the hot oven. I don't care if I'm wearing a glove. You can try to tell me. And that's the thing too, where I also did a mock cooking demonstration one time. And the lady was like, oh, you're wearing a glove. You don't have to worry about it. You only need one glove, whatever. And I didn't feel comfortable. And she didn't really listen to that. She was, I guess, gaslighting, you would say. And like, oh, no, you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. And my mom, the same thing. The first time she would ask, she had asked me and I, whatever. And it's like, you do what works for you. And if that means having to use a microwave, if that means, putting the food in the oven before you turn it on, if that means, someday in the future when we get, if and when we get automation, if that means buying that automation technology, or, there's nothing wrong with eating food that you cook in a microwave. You want, a balanced diet and try different foods, but if there's a way to help cook those foods in the microwave, that doesn't make them any worse for you or less wholesome or whatever than putting it in an oven if using an oven doesn't work for you. Or, like I said, doing it in an oven in a different order or, like I said, someday when there is an automatic oven, that loads or unloads itself, that doesn't make it any less normal or proper or anything. And just do what is, if you want to try to push your limits one time, and that's fine, but don't have people push your limits for you or tell you you have to do it a certain way. If one way works better, whether it's easy or hard or no matter how another person would think of it, just do what works for you as an individual.
I really like that phrase, don't let other people push your limits for you. I think that's really, really smart.
Yeah, and
I really
like I said,
feel
that
that.
could go either way. Some people could look at how I do something and say, oh, that's harder. Why do you do it that way? But for me, it's easier. So, Why do I care what they think? Especially, I don't mean to get semantic or political, but if it's coming from an able-bodied person, they're used to it because everything's set up for an able-bodied person. So if somebody with a disability has to do it a different way, why should they look at you different when they're the ones who set it up to be not disability friendly?
Well, it's something that I always talk about and say that to my family and friends all the time. I'm like, the world wasn't built for somebody with a disability. So we kind of have to figure out how to navigate it maybe a different way. And we need to recognize that just because it's different doesn't mean it works. I mean, we can be just as productive as somebody that can do it the normal way. But some people just live in the boxes. They think,
Yeah, that's all
oh,
it is.
cooking, one way to do it. No, that's not the correct mind frame. And I give frustrated, that people that do that, as I'm guessing you both do. So if you let me ask you guys this now that we're kind of on the topic. A lot of people with disabilities, have people helping them, whether it be staff, friends, partners, husbands, wives. What are maybe some tips that, you will give the person with the disability on how to properly communicate to those people their needs? I'll start with Alicia again, and then we'll get a witch.
My partner is the perfect person to cook with in this respect because he does exactly what I ask him to do, and he doesn't do stuff that I don't ask him to do. So if you can find someone like that, it's such a good dynamic. But a big thing, and this applies to so much more than just cooking, but if you have someone helping you, if there's something that you want to do that they try to do for you, it's okay to just say, "Hey, can I do that thing?" Sometimes it's hard to do that. I have one friend who can be a little bossy sometimes and just run over anything I want to do. But it's absolutely okay to just say, I want to try this myself. I want to do this myself. It's also great trying to do new things and okay if you fail at them and need someone else to help. There's nothing wrong with asking for help. It doesn't make it any less homemade. If anything, it's kind of nice because you get to say, oh, I made it with my friend, or my staff helped me, but I, contributed to it. But earlier I was saying about how I like to look at a recipe and, try to do things, as efficiently as possible so I don't use up too much energy. Another nice thing, if you look through the recipe in advance, is that you can decide in advance what you want to do and what you want your friend, your staff, your family member to do instead, so that you can say to them, hey, I'm going to do this, this, and this. You are going to do this, this, and this. And that's a really good way to strike a good balance, in advance before you've even started. It's such a balancing act, and especially for those of us who've worked with staff, or like in my case, I have county provided home health or homemaker services, so it's just light housekeeping, things like that, but meal prep can be a part of that. And, it's just a big communication thing of learning how to assert myself in a polite but, still, self-preserving way. I don't know the words I'm looking for, but yeah, I don't know. Rich, go ahead.
So I guess that's an interesting point. So I know, when when I was growing up, where I was had a situation that, like, at home, my mom would try to get me to be a little bit more independent, do more things, chores and things around the house, and then I would have a one-on-one aide when I was in school. And I had several of them over the course of my career. And I can remember there was one or two that were really, would try to, get on and do things for me without maybe my asking. And this was actually at a time where they were wanting to, we didn't end up doing this, but they were looking to wean me off of having an aide. And I was, being given more chores to do at home, so I was, having to learn a little bit more independence at home, and then I was going to school and basically having a babysitter or a nanny instead of an aide or an assistant. And that got really frustrating. But then at the same time, there's times now when I look and, I'm getting older, my mom's getting older, and there'd be times where she'd kind of be like, hey, we got to think about what comes next, and you're going to have to learn to be more independent. And I'll hear that and think, well, why am I being thrown to the wolves and not being allowed any help? So it's kind of like that balancing act of, I want to be in a position where I can have help, at arm's length that I can get as I need, and it's not somewhere over the rainbow that, excuse me, where, I don't want somebody that's, 100 miles away that might not come and help me, for 3 hours, but I also don't want somebody breathing down my neck all the time. So when I've thought about, and not that I have been pressured to make a decision like tomorrow, or, my mom wants me out of the house, by a certain date, but it's something we have to consider. And that's one of the things is like, okay, do I want to live at home in our current house and get, like, is there a way I can be on a list of, okay, somebody's come to your house this time, this day, or if I were to live in a Project Freedom type development, or I don't know what they call them out in Pittsburgh, but by us here in New Jersey, we have a couple that are called Project Freedom. Unfortunately, they all have huge wait lists, but then the thought when I get there is, I often say, 'cause I've done a few long distance train trips, and we take the bedroom where you have a private car attendant and you press the button and they'll help make down your bed or whatever. And I often say to my mom, if I could live in a Project Freedom, I hope they have something like that. It's on the train, it's called an attendant call button. So, if they have an attendant call button in a Project Freedom where maybe I have a person who I say, I know I need help with A, B, and C, so I need somebody present when I do those things, and then I have a press of a button to get somebody. But then even if I have someone to say, I need help with A, B, and C, but then that person knows, or I would want that person to know, that, hey, I might need more help one day versus the next. And that goes for anything. That goes for meal prep, cooking, getting dressed, any of it.
Can I add one more thing and just kind of going off of that?
Yeah.
This applies to meal prep and to so many other things, but needing help does not make you lesser than. I think there's this kind of notion that only, you know, the lowest of the low need help. And if you ask for help, that's a sign of weakness. And it's like, you know, I am college educated, homeowner, I run a nonprofit, you know, it doesn't make me none of those things to not be able to lift stuff out of the oven. I just also have vertigo issues. And if I lean over into the oven, bad stuff's going to happen. And, you know, it doesn't detract from all the other things that make me me to need to have help with certain things. And like, I think as a society, we just all need to try to internalize that. But, you know, that, you know, asking for help in the kitchen with tasks that are hard for you is okay. You know, I ask for help from my roommate all the time with just like, just even one part of what I'm doing. Like sometimes my hands aren't cold. You don't have to be disabled for this. Sometimes jar lids are just really hard to open. And I will go to my roommate who's big, strong, manly man and say, dude, open my jar. And like, you know, that doesn't make you less than it. Can't do that one task. And, you know, but, you know, do still communicate that because you're asking for help with one thing doesn't mean you're asking for help with the whole thing. You know, if you want to do most of it yourself, make that clear.
Thank you for that. So in closing, is there really anything else you want to kind of end it with? Anything that maybe you had thought of during our talk and that you really want to get out? Alicia, we'll start with you and then we'll go to Witch again.
There's no shame in ordering delivery. There's no shame in, you know, and you don't have to be for this disabled for this to apply for. There's no shame in having a day where you are not up to the task of cooking for yourself. Some days you're just too tired. Some days your hands are shaking too much. Some days your emotions are just too far gone for you to be able to do a thing. You know, it's always good to push yourself. But, you know, it's not good to, like, you know, kill yourself over doing something that, like, I should be able to do this. Screw should, you know. Give yourself some grace. That said, you know, like I was saying earlier, there are a lot of great resources out there, websites, things like that, especially if you have like specific disabilities. There are a lot of great websites out there with like specific tips and tricks that are worth reading through. You know, if you have shaky hands, there are great websites out there for advice on like tools that help out. You know, I have a family member with Parkinson's. There's the tool that helps, you know, with the hold the spoon steady. You know, I have MS, and so like I have a lot of issues with, as I said, vertigo. There are sites out there for like advice on how to do certain tasks. You know, it's awesome to go find those sites. It's fine to ask for help and just, you know, but at the end of the day, like I said, there's no shame in ordering, you know, Chinese and just sitting back and enjoying that.
So what you're saying is DoorDash is your friend.
I use Grubhub because DoorDash has terrible policies about refunds if stuff is messed up. But, you know, this is not sponsored. I am not getting any kickback from that. But, no, there's just, no one's ever perfect. And some days are going to stink. And, you know, there's no shame in just on a day just saying, I need to be gentle with myself, you know. I need to not push myself today because I've already pushed myself too far. And if I push myself any further, I'm going to suffer tomorrow, you know, and just recognize that and, you know, give yourself some grace there.
Thank you for that,
At the egg roll.
Richard, do you have any final thoughts that you can give us?
No, I think she articulated it very well.
Thank you all for joining us and listening. We would also like to thank the Raise Center for hosting this series.